team on offense when he's there as the quarterback, he has given them 29 touchdowns and 24 turnovers.
It's not good.
Now, we could argue about health. I did not think he was healthy. I called the boss three plays into the game. This guy's not healthy. He's not 100%. He didn't answer my phone.
Did you?
But that was just me talking to myself.
Did he answer it? No.
But also,
did you leave a message?
There's like a bigger conversation here. It's like, it's about like paying your quarterback. And I know, like, the day he signed, everyone was like, oh, we're so happy. Pay the quarterback. And I was like, he deserved a pay raise, but like, like, it's not, is he good? It's not, is he good and does he deserve a pay raise? Both of those are true. It's how good is my team when he's making X amount? And as I've learned right now, like, is there a $45 million difference between Mac and Brock? Probably not.
Probably not.
But Brock is better than Mac.
Yes.
But what does my team look like when my quarterback's only making, let's say, 10 or 15 or 20 million versus what does my team look like when one guy's making 53? So, like, there's all these deep philosophical things that are starting to come to the light right now when it comes to the Niners, and I think people have gotten too caught up in the, you don't think he's good. No, he is good. But, like, it's really difficult. If you're not a surefire Hall of Famer, right, all these guys that get paid a lot of money, you better hit all around those guys, and you better pay the right guys. Well, right now, two other high-priced guys outside of Brock are out for who knows how long, Brandon Ayuk and Nick Bosa. How much dead cap money is on the books right now? You're paying Eric Armstead to play for the Jags.
Right.
You're paying Deebo Samuel to play for Washington. And then your other guys that you are paying for, you're not getting bang for the buck. George Kittle's hurt. Trent Williams looks terrible. Like, guys, like, yeah, it's going to put a spotlight on the guy making $53 million, but it is deeper than him.
I just come away from this game saying Mac Jones should have started. And it's not because I think he's better than Brock Purdy. It's because I wanted Brock Purdy to be as close as he could be to 100% heading into that Rams game.
Do you think this guy's going to get healthier as the year goes on? Or do you think this guy at some point is going to probably miss a couple more games?
I mean, how can it get healthy if his game, he has a toe injury that's, I don't know if it's going to require surgery. Hopefully it doesn't. They said 2 to 5 weeks initially that he was going to be out. So that's what I'm just going off. Rap sheet, NFL Network. But it's not something that's just going to go away. I mean, we had Lorenzo Neal on, Joe. He's dealt with it. We've had Brian Baldinger on. Two foreign players. What did they say? You can't really practice very well with it. Like,
he looked rusty.
He looked rusty. He looked unsure of himself.
Compromised. Yes, all those things are true. And then it's not just the plays that he's not making. How many hospital balls yesterday?
I mean, on all the players.
That's the Jimmy zone.
I mean, Juwan Jennings, God love the guy. He couldn't even get into the blue tent because it was full. Ricky Pearsall hurt. Juwan Jennings hurt. I thought DeMarcus Robinson almost got decapitated on one of them. He made a hell of a catch. Christian McCaffrey, another one. By the way, this segment is brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bear for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. As you are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGNZ FM and HG1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live in the Free Odyssey app, coming live from the Laughing Monk Studios. We're taking your calls and texts all day long. Jose in Oakland, Nick in Berkeley, we'll get to you in a second. The most frustrating aspect of that loss was what, and should Brock Purdy have started yesterday? Like, we could all, like, well, say now he shouldn't have, right?
But
it's obvious. Yeah, he shouldn't have started.
I agree. I wanted him to get removed from the game in the first quarter. I could tell he wasn't moving well. And to me, I thought it was like, okay, well, but I don't know. I don't. How bad is Mac injured? This goes back to that third quarterback situation that I've been talking
about. This also goes back to you didn't pay Mac that much money. So you know what? God love the guy. He's my backup. If I have to have a sacrificial lamb, and it sounds heartless, Joe,
it does.
I'd rather put him out there than my $100-plus million quarterback,
because
right?
Because now I'm looking at this, and I say to myself, like, again, I have a hard time thinking this guy's going to avoid going on the IR at some point this year. I just have a really hard time seeing how week after week after week he's going to play and not get banged up.
I mean,
the other part of this is, Joe, we could talk about the toe all we want. There were a couple of decisions that made no sense. The throw into triple coverage that got tipped, that ball was getting picked 9 out of 10 times. The throw that he made to Christian McCaffrey where he had a guy open underneath, like, that was a bad decision.
And that's the key for me right there, is his game is not predicated on size, athleticism, speed, none of that. His superpower, and we always hear that term with Brock Purdy, his superpower, his elite trait, is between the eyeballs. It's in the brain.
Well, then what do you make of 29 and 24? As in 29 total touchdowns, 24 total turnovers the last 2 years.
It's a guy that wasn't sure of himself. He wasn't sure of what he was looking at it, whether it was the Jacksonville Jaguars defensive coordinator, what he was throwing out there. They kept referencing the guy, Campanile is his name, the defensive coordinator. Kept mentioning he's from North Jersey, and then he knows Tony Sprano. I don't know what they were talking about in the broadcast. But whatever he was doing, it was giving them fits.
Well, they were rushing 3 and 4 in certain situations and dropping back. And it just felt like we could not get an explosive play. Really, the two biggest plays of the game, explosive-wise, I'm talking about big chunk plays, the hook and ladder play.
That, and which honestly felt desperate that they needed to polish that off that early in the game. They needed it.
One of McCaffrey's best plays of the year, you know what I mean? Which is sad.
Yes.
The other one was the Ricky Pearsall underthrown ball that he had to adjust and make a one-handed catch on.
It was awesome. That was, again, we're not talking
about
it.
Maybe the DeMarcus Robinson play.
And I was literally tweeting, I was like, wow, what a catch, and then immediately it's followed by a pick. So I was like, wow, I was about to tweet, you know, what a great catch, and then Brock throws a pick.
Well, and look, to be fair here, Kendrick Bourne, he threw a dot to Kendrick Bourne, and he just dropped it.
Yes.
And should have been a drive extender.
He also had one at Kendrick Bourne that people...
skillet hands. Yeah. Hey, invite him to the camp out, you know, to cook eggs on the skillet. Do not invite him on third down to catch the ball.
Well, there was a third down that was going to get... It was going to be short anyways, but it was like a quick throw to him right at the line of scrimmage.
Above his hands.
But it was too high.
Yeah, I know.
Like, so I'm not even blaming... Like, he needs to catch it, but also, even a placement that's 3 or 4 yards in front of him, Brock couldn't pinpoint.
I mean, Brock was bad yesterday.
Like, he's bad.
We could call, you know, a spade a spade.
Yes. Let's go to Jose in Oakland who wants to join the conversation.
Jose?
What's up, Jose? You're on the Morning Roast.
Hey, good morning, guys. Look, there are several things that are definitely wrong with the team, and we all know that. Quarterback is the most obvious thing to point out, but let me tell you something. Okay, Trent Williams, he's reminding me of Ray Lewis in his last 2 years. Sure, you know, he's a Hall of Famer, but he's not playing like it. He's definitely, you know, going downhill, so the money that he asked for, that's wasting money if you ask me. Sky Moore, a reliable pass catcher? He's not, okay? The last reliable pass returner that we had was Deebo Samuel. He's not even playing for our team anymore. A quarter of the special teams is not playing on the active roster because of injuries. So, you know, obviously it is compromised. As far as the Jaguars, I mean, let's be honest. They have a decent defense, okay? If I'm not mistaken, I think they're among the leaders in either interceptions or turnovers. So they are a good defensive team. It's not like they're, you know, when we're playing, you know, a team that does not have any defense at all. Brock Purdy is obvious. I mean, he was hurt. There's nothing much we can do. Mac Jones, would he have made any difference? Not with that defense. I think the result still would have been the same. But like you said, it would have looked better because now we have that controversy. People are always saying, well, you know what? Mac Jones would have won that game. It's a gimmick. You're always going to have a 50-50 split with, you know, amongst the fans as far as who the starter should be. So now there's additional problems. Honestly, all we can do right now is just wait and see if things change once some of the players that are injured get healthy. And you know what? Your Lynch should be on the phone right now trying to get a reliable pass rusher because right now they don't have any pass rusher.
Well, thanks, Jose.
Before I even look from outside, one thing that I would do right off the rip is activate Nick Martin. And then I would put either Fred Warner or D. Winters on the edge occasionally and play Nick Martin. Get Nick Martin on special teams. That's number one. And then number two, Luke Gifford, get off the field. Like, I'm sorry. Like, what are we doing here? I know that they brought Luke Gifford in for special teams. Did you see Luke Gifford at all on either punt or kick return coverage?
I think he stinks.
Yeah, exactly. Guerrero, get on out of here. I need safeties. I need linebackers. That's who I need on special teams. Not these soft running backs who don't like contact.
Again, first game without Nick Bosa, and the first time in over a decade that the 49ers defense failed to record a quarterback hit or sack. And let's be honest here. Trevor Lawrence likes to walk into both of those a lot. If you've watched the Jaguars in all the last couple of years.
I'll give Trevor this. Although I think he's very mediocre. There were 4 or 5 specific third downs. He was excellent. And we blitzed, and he threw right to the hot route quickly to get rid of the ball. I thought he did a good job for the most part. But he will stare down guys.
Yes, he will. And he did that a lot yesterday.
He did. D. Winters, Fred Warner, multiple plays. I thought the Upton-Stout play I could have gone either way with it. He did grab the jersey.
I know.
I know Niner fans don't want to hear it. To me, he did grab the jersey. Here's a name I don't want to hear about anymore from the beat writers. Yetir Gross-Matos. I mean, he's the new Bruce Ellington. We write about him. We talk about him. The guy sucks. Stop telling me that he's an impact player. When I watch him, he plays poor, upright, gets pushed around, comes in late to hit people questionably. He doesn't make impact. He doesn't get pass rush. He doesn't stop the run. I don't want to hear about him anymore.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to hear about him. I also don't want to hear the name Daryl Luter Jr.
anymore. Well, he sucks, too. He's the guy, who got the ball, bounced off his foot in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
On the play. Ray-Ray McCloud muffed or whatever. I don't even know if Ray-Ray muffed it, but it hit Luter. I don't want to see Luter either. I mean, they miss Renardo Green. Their secondary is thin. Jason Pinnock stinks.
By the way, we're talking about the Niners all day long because it's the day after a football game. It was a huge loss for them. They have a Rams team that is hungry right now. They are looking good. I don't know how they came back against the Colts yesterday. That's going to be Thursday Night Football. We're going to be talking about all week long. We're also monitoring what's going on. Warriors Media Day today. A lot happened over the weekend for the Dubs. Still no Jonathan Kuminga, but Al Horford committing to the deal. We got DeAnthony Melton. We got Gary Payton. They signed Will Richard, their rookie, to a four-year contract. A lot is happening, and we are continuing to monitoring it. If anything happens on the Kuminga front, we will break the news. I promise you. That is big. It's massive. It's huge. And then, obviously, what's going on with Bob Melvin? I guess he's scheduled to talk to the media in a couple days. Is he going to stick around? The Giants season is officially over. They finish 81-81.
Of course they did.
Will they make, a managerial change?
Chapman out here trying to run up the scoreboard by taking a single into a double and then getting thrown out at home. I mean, like, don't even start me with the stat padding of some of these guys. Before you go, that game was sitting on a platter. Jacksonville's like, no, you take it. The Niners are like, no, actually, we insist that you take it. It was going back and forth. And I said to myself, this game is just sitting there. And the one thing that I think, and this is, we were talking about this last week. Hey, you're 3-0. You should be excited. Look, I'm thrilled we're 3-1 right now. But there is another part of me that looks at this and goes, oh boy, we could easily be 1 or 0-3. Like, legitimately.
Chris, Cal, Nick, we'll get to all of you on the other side, plus more of your calls, more of your texts, 888-957-9570 is the number, and it's going to be brought to you by Moderna. Brock Purdy did not look 100%. Didn't even look 75%. He just looked unsure of himself, not trusting the scrambling, not trusting his offensive line, not trusting the running game. There's not a lot to trust with the 49ers right now as these injuries mount. You can trust Fred Warner. You can trust D-Winners. I'm not trusting that front seven without Nick Bosa. Failed to record a quarterback hit or sack for the first time in over a decade. I'm not trusting that offensive line. I can't even trust my future Hall of Fame left tackle right now because he looks like anything but a Hall of Famer. That's Trent Williams as he was getting into it on the sideline with the Jaguars yesterday, Joe.
You know,
we're monitoring that.
You're talking about things you could trust.
Yeah.
I know everybody's losing their minds about Kyle overall. I actually think Kyle did a really good job in this game. I thought that he did a lot of one read specific wide open window, throw the ball to this guy type plays, given Brock's limited stature or status. And then in the red zone, think about it. He did the flip play to Christian McCaffrey for a touchdown and then the Tonjes screenplay for a touchdown. I think his red zone creativity has been better than people want to give it credit for. Yeah, are they sucking it up on third and one, first and goal, inside the 10 in the lower red zone? Yeah, absolutely. Like, they continue to run the ball on that first down. But I think overall, he's done a great job creativity-wise in the red zone. I think they've been better this year than last year.
So we're continuing to monitoring this game and all your calls and all your texts. And by the way, we're also very aware what else is happening in the Bay right now, Joe. Warriors did a lot over the weekend. Still no Kuminga, who's not going to be at Media Day, according to Shams Charania, ESPN. But Al Horford signing a multi-year deal with the Warriors. We've got D'Anthony Melton, Gary Payton II. They're coming on to the Warriors. We signed Will Richard, the rookie, to a four-year contract. So we are monitoring that.
Can we just... Kuminga, give me 30 seconds. Kuminga.
Please.
All right. The jig's up, dude. Either you're accepting the 2 years for 45 with a team option, the 3 year for $75 million, which includes a team option, or the 3 years, $54 million with no team option. That's it. Or you're taking the qualifying offer. Those are your options. What? Jonathan Kuminga, what are you waiting on? You have four options. A 2 year deal, a 3 year deal, and then a 3 year deal with no team option. Those are, and then the fourth option is obviously you take the stupid qualifying offer. What is the holdup?
You got to ask him and Aaron Turner, his agent. What's the
Kuminga prices?
By the way,
I wish the Warriors would have done this a month ago. Just started signing everyone.
The preseason is right around the corner. We're less than a week now as the Warriors will take on the Lakers Saturday. Check that Sunday, October 5th. And 95.7 The Game is tipping things off in style. Check this out. Join us at Pier 39 this Saturday, October 4th, for a Warriors preseason special you won't want to miss. Live appearances from Warriors favorites such as Festus Ezeli, Zaza Pachulia, Kelan Azubuike, Tim Roy, and our very own, the King, Bonte Hill. Plus your chance to win tickets, again, for the first preseason game on Sunday, October 5th, as the Warriors host LeBron James and the Lakers. And if that's not enough, Evan Giddings and Guru will be broadcasting live from 12 to 4. It's hoops, it's hype, and the season is almost here. Your station for everything, Warriors, 95.7 The Game. Your station for everything orange and black as well, the San Francisco Giants, as their season came to an end yesterday. And before we get back to the 49ers...
Yeah, we're going to rat-a-tat-tat these phone lines.
We will. Bob Melvin answers questions about his future.
You have a contract for next year. Beyond that, have you been given assurances you're going to be back next year?
No.
How do you feel about that or anything?
It is what it is. We'll see what the next day brings.
And do you plan to or hope to talk to Buster today about the way the second half went?
I think I'm going to talk to somebody tomorrow.
I'm going to talk to somebody tomorrow. See you at the crossroads, crossroads.
He gone.
I miss my Uncle Charles, y'all. Bye, Bob.
I love Bob.
Gone.
Yeah. That's literally, he's like, I haven't had any conversations about anything. He is gone.
I know we're going to get, right back in. You just keep teasing me with giant stuff. I heard Mike Krugo make the case for why Wilmer should come back next year. Mike, I love you. You're like, legitimately, I love you, Mike Krugo. Are you smoking crack to think that Wilmer Flores needs to come back to this team? What position?
Hey.
Oh, and I'd be like, we need a right-handed hitter. Devers hits better against righties, against lefties. Okay, this year, you know who hit better against righties this year? This year? Dom Smith. You know who's infinitely better defensively? Dom Smith. Okay, Bryce Eldridge hits better than against righties and lefties than Wilmer Flores. What is the data argument for keeping Wilmer Flores? He's done. It's over. I like him. Good guy. Goodbye. Love you, Mike Krugo.
I love that. Good guy. Goodbye. I love that. Chris.
Like what?
San
Wilmer,
Carlos.
What?
Chris and Sarah Cole is going to kick things off on the red and gold.
At the deadline.
888-957-9570. We're talking about it all. Jaguars with the win yesterday. Liam Cohen and Robert Saleh getting into it after it.
We turned the ball over four times and gave up a freaking punt return touchdown.
But hey, we want to get into it. On the sidelines, Trent Williams, Robert Saleh. Hey, Fred Warner even trying to, like, even on a knee. Hey, Fred, I love you, and I get it. Playing until the whistle ends. We don't need to be jumping on people or taking knees. That is something that I will get on Fred, and I don't like to get on Fred a lot. What are you doing there? What are you doing? Chris San Carlos, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Everything you guys are saying is obviously true. Super frustrating loss. You never want to lose to the Jags at home. But let's just pump a little optimism here. With everything that went wrong, the whole game you're frustrated. Brock doesn't look great. The offensive line, no pass rush. It's 26-21. The Niners are driving with a chance to win the game. And I know we all thought at some point, oh, good God, he's going to do it. They're going to win this game. And then he fumbles and it caps off the frustration. But that's the NFL. You're going to lose games like that. We just won two games with our backup quarterback and everybody's injured. You kind of could see it coming. The next step to me is, we're concerned about the Rams now. We own the Rams. We're going to beat the brakes off them, and everybody's going to say, Brock's a dog. We're back. The 49ers are going to be just fine. It's just a frustrating loss.
Wait up. You think this team, with two banged-up wide receivers, where Ricky didn't go back into that game yesterday, all right, you think they're going to be able to pick themselves off the mat in 3 days and get ready for L.A.? Who are they throwing to on Thursday?
Chris, they also got swept last year against the Rams. I'm just letting you know.
Well, they were 1-5 in the division.
Yeah, I'm just letting, but again, they did lose to the Rams twice last year.
And Purdy threw multiple interceptions in the second half of that game in the rain.
Ricky Pearsall came out of that game because they play the Rams on Thursday this week. They were like, get healthy, get right. We're going to beat the brakes off the Rams. The 49ers own the Rams. They own the Rams.
Right.
You know it. I
hope
know
you're
it.
Right.
They
Where
did
are they
it
gonna
though, last year. I'm sorry. They don't own the Rams because they got swept
well,
last year.
And we
year.
Lost the biggest game
ever. The biggest
ever
game they've ever played. Chris,
yeah,
I disagree with you. I love you.
Game. I'm not
buying that. You were 1-5 in the division last year. Yes, 2-0 this season. A lot better. One of those wins was with Mac Jones. One of them was with Brock. By the way, just not for nothing, as people like to say. Both of these quarterbacks have started two games now and played in the totality of both.
Who are we talking about?
Mac Jones and Brock Purdy.
Okay.
I just want to give you the stats for both of these quarterbacks. Stop. I'm not saying this is... Hey, don't shoot the messenger here. I'm just telling you what has happened in both of these games. Brock has played against the Seahawks and Jaguars. Both tougher teams, I think, than the Cardinals and Saints that Mac Jones played against, okay?
Yeah.
This is what Brock Purdy has done in two starts. 65% completion percentage, 586 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, 4 picks. Mac Jones.
How many fumbles? I think 2 fumbles.
Correct. 2 fumbles.
That's
losses.
6 turnovers.
That's 6 turnovers. Correct.
Wow, 6 turnovers in 2 games. Gosh.
Mac Jones in his 2 starts. 66.3% completion percentage, 563 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, a pick. And a lost fumble. So 4 touchdowns, 2 turnovers.
Look, you turn the ball over 3 times in a game, you are not going to win that game. You turn the ball over 4 times in a game, I mean, you got no shot with Luke Farrell, you know, fumbling the ball as well. And like, they got lucky that McCaffrey didn't lose that fumble as well. They got lucky that multiple other balls that were 50-50 balls didn't get intercepted. Now, they should have probably came away with a couple of interceptions and fumbles. But that's how thin the margins are right now.
Listen, I'm not sitting up here and saying if Mac Jones started yesterday, the 49ers were winning. I want to get that clear. I am not saying if Michael McCorkle Jones was the starter over Brock, 49ers are winning. What I am saying is I feel better about a loss with my backup in that situation, knowing I'm trying to keep my franchise quarterback healthy heading into a much bigger game against a division rival on Thursday, Joe. Well, I can actually wrap my head. Like, let's say, just hypothetically, Mac Jones was the starter yesterday. They get blown out. Okay, Mac doesn't look good. He throws a bunch of pick sixes. Whatever. What do? Burn the tape. Move on. Brock's coming back.
Yeah, it was
back
our
this
backup
week.
Quarterback.
There you go. You could, and he said, hey, we got 2 in the bag with our backup. It didn't work out on the third one. That's
but
fine.
We bought 4 extra days for our quarterback.
Correct.
And now he gets to play Thursday, talking about Brock, and he would get 10 days after that game to kind of rest up and be ready for the next one.
Now how are you feeling with that loss?
I don't feel good at all. I'm very concerned. Like, Joe, I'm not trying to play doctor. I'm playing watch with the eyes. I've been a Niner fan my whole life, watching for 40 years. I have a hard time seeing Brock Purdy avoid the IR this year, seeing him move around the way that he did. I have a hard time seeing him look really effective on Thursday night against the Rams, given how short the turnaround is. Like, they're in some trouble here. Like, they're in some trouble here. And the thing that really ticks me off is that these foot, toe, you know, whatever it is, the tendon, I heard it's a torn tendon in the foot or a ligament in the foot, if you will. I don't know. I don't know if that's accurate or not. But if it is, I mean, these are the things that can hurt you all year and into your future.
Well, you start getting concerned when you see other franchise quarterbacks go down. Not saying it's the same thing.
Why
but
do you think
obviously,
Burrow got surgery?
But Burrow got it because they needed to nip it in the bud quick.
Yes.
He's the franchise guy.
Exactly.
He needed the surgery. Now, clearly that one was more severe than what Brock's dealing with. But what you don't want is for it to linger and it to become severe. Why do you think the Ravens immediately pulled out Lamar Jackson yesterday with a hamstring injury? Because what they can't have is a guy like Lamar Jackson tearing his hammy.
I would agree.
Then you're screwed.
I would agree.
Cal in Lafayette wants to join the conversation. What's up, Cal? You're on the Morning Roast.
All right, boys. I got three. Look, we got a lot of down talk. You know, the morale is hurting. I think everybody knows it. But I got three things that the Niner fans should be stoked about before I get into one that definitely blows. But look, Ricky Pearsall is a hit.
He's a stud.
I mean, that catch was absurd.
Yes.
Like, this guy is just making plays game after game. You know, people want to say what they say about last year, but wow, did we hit on Slick Rick. Number two, we still have the best linebacker duo in the NFL. Fred Warner, D. Winters looks like an absolute animal out there. They're out there making plays, making tackles. These boys are studs. Number three, and probably most importantly, We have a kicker who looks like he's kicked the ball before.
Why didn't they kick a field goal? What did you think they should have kicked that field goal instead of going for it on fourth and three? I'm just curious because I kind of thought they should have kicked the field goal and just taken the points, considering how like everything was just up in the air at that time.
No, I like it. You know what? We don't go for it. We take too many field goals, honestly. And that leads me to the problem, man, is yesterday looked like reminiscent of last year. Like, we had a touchdown problem. We can't score touchdowns in the red zone. I know we had that good shovel pass to McCaffrey down the middle. You know, we made the play to the tight end. But, dude, we are missing Ayuk. We're missing Kittle, dude. We need route burners, bro. We need Ayuk to be burning people, getting wide open, and making big plays. Right now we have Slick Rick looking back in the air on a short pass, making one-armed grabs. Like, we need these players back. I'm worried, man. I hope Ayuk comes back. I hope he's the same player. You know, we got to consider that.
I don't know.
But all around, man, we got things to look forward to. Look, tough game yesterday. I do agree we probably should have just kept Brock sitting. But look, looking forward to Thursday. Are the cards in our favor? Probably not. But look, if there's a team who can just, like, randomly find a way, you know, Kyle schemes something up, the boys come ready to play, Trent hypes the boys up, maybe he turns it on this game and looks like his old self, I think we can pull it out. Are the numbers, are the things looking like we can? Probably not. I mean, you said it, you know, we got some problems, we got some deeper things. But we do show up against the Rams, bro. We do not like the Rams. Yeah, we got swept last season. But look, I just feel like the Niners turn this one around. I think Rick plays. I think we get some big plays. CMC's a dog. He's healthy. He's getting touches. He's out there bouncing around, doing everything for this team.
Thanks, Cal. I loved what he had to say about yesterday's Niners looked a lot like last year's 49ers. And that's kind of how I'm feeling about it, too. Just injuries, you know, unsure of themselves, indecisive, just a step late. You know, you had four turnovers, and you still think you have a shot to win. I know it's three turnovers, and then they get the fourth one towards that last drive there. But just too many mistakes, man. Like, and I don't care if it was the Jacksonville Jaguars or the Carolina Panthers or whoever you think is the worst team in the NFL. You lose the turnover battle by four. You don't deserve to win the game.
So
you don't.
It's third and three. It's 26-14. All right. And you're at the 27-yard line. The kicker has looked good.
Pinheiro's been fine. After that first missed extra point, that's been the only thing.
So the first play of the fourth quarter is a shotgun little like handoff to McCaffrey on the left side. They barely get back to the line of scrimmage. Then it's fourth and two. What was everyone thinking? You go for that, or do you kick the field goal?
I understood the mindset of wanting to go for it if you're Kyle. But I think this is where you have to balance what you need and what's better for the overall like mentals of the team. Taking the points there and just scoring, I think signals like, okay, we're inching back. Let's just get another stop.
You're still down nine, kick the field goal.
Correct. But you have enough time.
With the full quarter, basically. Like I said, there was 14 minutes left in the game. It was 14-20 when they hiked it.
Correct. So I thought they had enough time where if they wanted to take the field goal, I understood it. But I can't be mad at the aggressive mindset because we've wanted that aggressive mindset for so long from Kyle. It just didn't work out. I would have liked just the better execution, right? And it just didn't happen there. And maybe that was the game in hindsight, and it just didn't work out, is what it is. I didn't mind him going for it. Let me just say that, Joe. But I understand like the hindsight's always 20-20 aspect of it. And Sanchez even brought it up. He's like, hey, if you had taken the points, you would have just needed a field goal going in there. So, it didn't work out. What did you think?
I was kind of conflicted. Like, a part of me was like, the defense has looked better, but you need more than just a field goal here. Like, I was very conflicted. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it's easy to look back and say, hey, take the field goal.
We've been so hard on Shanahan not being aggressive enough. That's why I was like, you know what? He was aggressive. It didn't work out.
It's one of the rare instances where I didn't have full conviction one way or the other.
You had a Matt Steinmetz. You didn't have a strong opinion one way or the other.
I was like, hey, look, I get trying to put points on the board, but also they did have an 8-minute drive earlier in the game. Right. So I can understand why you would want to try to hang on to the ball a little longer. And you think that maybe your defense is having a tough time getting off the field.
I know. Nick in Berkeley wants to talk about
it. If Moody's the kicker, I'm 100% going for it.
Absolutely. But Pinheiro's been Eddie Money for them, which has been, again, talking silver linings. Hey, Eddie Pinheiro.
Well, their kicker solid. Missed.
Their kicker, yeah. What was it? Little Cam yeah. Little? Yeah, came up a
second
little
year
short.
Player.
There you go. Nick, Berserkley. What's up, Nick? How are we feeling about that loss yesterday?
Man, that was brutal, man. First of all, you know, Purdy had no business coming back early, man. Why you just didn't rest him until the Rams game, you know what I mean? Or the Chargers game, whatever. It's so far. I'm like, dude, like, what is wrong with you, Shanahan? Like, you're out of your mind, bro. Why are you rushing back early? I don't care if he's telling you he's healthy. Obviously, he wasn't. He's doing a lot of unbalanced throws. He was sloppy. You know, he, like, overthrew people. And, like I was just like, bro, like you got to do better than that, Purdy. I don't know if he was feeling the heat from Mac Jones or whatever. Shanahan was running a different playbook. He wasn't running the same playbook that he ran with Mac Jones. With more mid-range, it's a little bit longer passes, man. Purdy slowly out there. A little windy. Check it out, man. With, like, the game, we outplayed them nearly in every phase of the game except for the rush game, which is weird, because that's what they focused on. But I don't understand why Shanahan can bring up the middle. It's constant, like, you know, like B-gap, you know, C-gap, like, bro, like, what are you trying to run up the middle on the Jaguars? They're gigantical, man. Like I always say, man, they're huge. Bro, you're trying to force things that aren't there all the time with McCaffrey over and over again. He's going to get hurt. Why do you want to make him? You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, Pearsall's killing it. He's a savage. And then, you know, then we get one. So, we, you know, cats don't hang on to the ball. You can't turn the ball over no four times to expect to win any NFL game at all ever. So the fact that we're in it to the last drive says a lot, because our defense has won the first three games for us, and they almost pulled it out yesterday. We're getting about two or three, three and outs late in the game. I mean, what do you want from the D, man? They're doing all they can. You know, like Shanahan, he had all these chances because the defense is putting him in position, but he's not capitalizing on it because we can't do anything once we're inside the 20. I don't get it.
That's Nick in Berkeley. Appreciate it, Nick. And it is crazy. Through these first four games, the passing attempts have been just so non-Shanahan offensive-esque.
They can't run the ball.
They can't run, so they've been forced to being a throwing team. It's just crazy because we talked about it all in the offseason, Joe, about the amount of 40-plus yard passing attempt games that Brock had. He had one last year. I think it was against the Detroit Lions. Yeah. At minimum, it's 35. And again, it's a smaller sample size, but again, it's a quarter of the season now.
The last, let's just say, before 2024, what was the key on the left side? You had Kittle, Trent,
yep.
And you had Aaron Banks.
Yep.
Now Trent looks like a shell of himself. You have Connor Colby, and you don't have George Kittle.
No.
So they can't run left like they used to. All their runs to the left were very poor.
And Dominic Pooney is compromised. Like these guys, like Connor Colby, I thought, I'm not going to be too hard on the guy because he is a rookie and replaced Ben Bartsch, who is now on the IR. I thought he's had an up and down kind of performances. He's dealt with a groin injury too.
I think they've been okay, the O-line.
Yeah,
again, this is like they don't have anybody breaking tackles right now, and they just look really predictable and stale. When I see Juice motion in back and forth and back and forth, I mean the guy gets winded before the ball's even hiked.
Oh,
he's doing so much movement to go nowhere. And I know they're like, well, we want to see if they're in man or if they're in zone, and you ain't fooling anyone. Every time Juice goes in motion, watch the defense barely bat an eye. They're like yawning, like okay.
You liked his little too small celly after he got that first down, like he was who's Pat Bev doing the too small Kyle Juszczyk. Or was he saying low man wins? Maybe that's his own celebration for him. By the way, my favorite celebration.
He's showing off his contributions too small.
That's actually pretty good, Sam. My favorite celly of the day yesterday was one of the 10 a.m. games. Jackson Dart making his first appearance. He had a good one. I don't know what that dance is called, but it was working for him. Jackson Dart, big upset by the Giants over the Chargers yesterday at the Meadowlands. But unfortunately, Malik Nabers goes down, torn ACL, another torn ACL on that turf out in New Jersey. Yikes. Can they get that fixed? They better.
I actually had a little breakdown on all the injuries.
Joe Alt, you're right. Again, another guy that went down insane. For them. Just insane. As we've talked about, you know, Nick Bosa tearing his ACL back 5 years ago and tearing it again this year, that turf is just disgusting.
Solly Thomas, Nick Bosa, Jordan Reed, all in one game. Or maybe it was over 2 weeks.
Aaron Rodgers,
absolutely. Malik Nabers. Like, the turf is a joke.
It's disgusting.
They released a timeline, actually, of everyone that's been hurt at MetLife Stadium in the past 5 years. It's incredible.
I mean, Saquon almost lost his career.
Yeah.
And look at him now playing on natural grass in Philadelphia. 888-957-9570. Yep. Jesus goes on.
I mean,
and
I
on
can
there.
Just keep going on.
It's insane. Again, just bring natural grass everywhere, people. It's not that hard. Did the 49ers make a mistake starting Brock Purdy yesterday? Let's just ask the question. Did they make a mistake starting Brock at quarterback yesterday? 888-957-9570. I think it's obvious they did. I would have felt so much better had they just taken the loss with the backup quarterback. I don't think Mac Jones wins you that game. I'm not saying that. I feel so much better if they had just given Brock extra rest heading into this game on Thursday Night Football. Short turnaround. He's not going to practice. He's probably going to be limited again this week. Like, just, this is where you need to protect your investments, Joe. Protect your investments. I think that's a radio show somewhere here. But
that's protect your assets.
Oh, sorry. I was close. But same. He is an asset. He's an investment. Protect your $100 million quarterback.
Well, and I think the thing that, like,
God,
we could talk about Jimmy G and how he used to throw interceptions and everything. I think the big part of the whole Jimmy G experience, physically, he depreciated dramatically over time.
Yes.
Shoulder, ankle, knee, shoulder, ankle,
ACL.
Knee,
yeah.
ACL. Like, his movement and who he ended up being, like, was a shell of what he was. Watching Brock move yesterday and watching Brock throw, it just was not confident in his body and did not look healthy. I know they took him off the injury report. There's no chance in hell he was healthy.
I
didn't see it at all. I thought it was crazy he was playing.
We've had a couple of calls already saying, and I get it, it's not doom and gloom. The season's not over. They're 3-1. It was a tough loss. The Jags are also 3-1. So let's split it equal here. The Jags aren't scrubs by any stretch of the imagination. They could be a playoff contender when it's all said and
done. They looked better than the Niners yesterday.
They did. Now, they have a lot of mistakes that they need to clean up too, and I think it was a game of mistakes by both teams. But they're also 3-1. So I'm not throwing dirt on the Niners at all. That being said, it was a bad loss. It's okay to say it. It was a bad loss. And for the people calling in saying, yeah, they own the Rams. The Rams are this, the Rams are that. Are the 49ers in position to be sleeping on any divisional opponent right now? When you skated by the Arizona Cardinals, when you skated by the Seattle Seahawks, when you skated by the New Orleans Saints.
It's a long season.
Yes.
And this is, you know, not to harp on this too long, but all the people, oh, the easiest schedule. Oh, this team's a pushover. And that team's a pushover. And that team's a pushover. Well, right now you're banged up, and thank gosh you banked 3 wins.
Yeah.
And now how can you gear up and suit up enough guys for Thursday? Is Pearsall going to be available? Today's a big day. Today's the scariest day of the week for the Niners. It's the day after injury report.
Right.
You know, and I
and then again, it's a Thursday game, so they're going to be limited. They're not going to be practicing as hard. It's going to be very, and this is why Thursday Night Football, it's such a, again, we love football, we can't have no football, but this is why, you know, players in the past get mad about all these Thursday Night Football games. The Richard Shermans of the world talking about it, all these guys saying, dude, we're trying to get healthy here. And you're making us even more hurt playing these types of games.
And the guy that they can ill afford to get injured outside of quarterback, CMC on 3 days rest? Everything that's happened the last 2 years.
Not just CMC. Your number one playmaker right now on offense is Ricky Pearsall. Left with a knee injury. What's going on with Ricky? I don't know. What's going on with Kirk in Los Altos? What's up, Kirk?
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking the call. I was just as disappointed yesterday. I even said so before the game started that I would be very bummed out if we lose this one. I don't mind losing to the really good teams, but my whole point is I think, you know, I've been here, you know, a long, long time, and I look at the Giants and I look at the Warriors and I now look at the 49ers, and it just seems like the Jacksonville team was bigger and faster and stronger and moving much more aggressively than the 49ers did. I just came away with two ideas. One was that I think the area to probably get...
You're cutting out there, Kirk and Los Altos Hills. We appreciate the call.
Those Los Altos Hills, huh?
They'll get you, I tell you. Sounds like he's in a wind tunnel. I don't know what was going on with Kirk there, but give us a call back, Kirk.
Of all the hills that you'd like to live on in the Bay, there's the Oakland Hills.
Yes, those are nice.
Morgan Hills.
There's the
Los Altos Hills, Edgewood or Redwood City Hills. Where would you like to live?
If Mount
you
Hillmore.
Could? Forest Hill.
There's the great Bonte Hill, of course, too. Oh, you, you're forgetting the best hill.
That's the highest of hills.
It's the,
it's the highest.
I don't think you have the royal credentials to pull that one off, Spadoni.
The Bonte Hills. You and Bonte were doing some good stuff over the weekend, too. We can get into that at some point. Giving back to the youth of America, the young journalists of the world. But as we mentioned.
Bonte Hills. Sam, you are in your bag. Giants is season
ending. No, Spadoni had the Bonte Hill joke.
Oh, was that you? I'm sorry.
I literally just said it right across from you. What are you talking about?
My bad, my bad, my bad.
I said Mount Hillmore.
Mount Hillmore, yeah.
That's a Dibs creation.
I know. So, yeah, so give Spadoni the credit for his
joke. No, I'm not giving him, like, he's not the only one that came up with the Mount Rushmore of things.
Hillside and Vallejo.
Oh, the hills are alive at the sound of
Jason
music.
Jason Hill, former wide receiver for the San Francisco 49ers and Sager Hart standout.
Stop! Sean Hill? Hey, Brock. How you feeling physically?
You look like Sean.
Felt good. Thought I was able to go out and play quarterback and give our team a chance. And so, that's that. No.
That sounded very curt and short and saying.
I don't believe him. I mean, he's just, what's he going to, I mean, he's not going to make excuses, but I don't believe him. I'm not mad at him either. It's not his fault. Sometimes you have to, like, protect the players from themselves.
You've been talking about a lot about his regression lately.
Look, for those that are just tuning in.
I'm starting to get worried, Joe.
17 games the last 2 years.
I'm starting to get worried.
Going back to the beginning of 2024, he's played 17 games. He's 7-10. The team is 7-10. He has 29 touchdowns overall, 5 rushing, 24 passing. He has 24 turnovers.
24.
I mean, you want to know why, like, you will not play quarterback long in any system in the NFL. Turnovers.
Kyle Shanahan spoke to that yesterday.
I thought our energy was fine. And I thought it was, you know, I think rhythm was tough probably with the 4 turnovers. And I think we had 1 punt in each half, 4 turnovers, one of them that I think would have been a touchdown. It's tough to overcome those 4 turnovers. Then you give up a punt return for a touchdown. And then we didn't get any. So still had a chance to win that. Had the ball with 2.5 minutes left. Down 5, I believe, around the 50-yard line. But then had another turnover.
And then, you know, if I was Kyle Shanahan, there's the whole, hey, we had the turnovers and all that. You also essentially gave up 10 points on special teams. You gave up an untouched punt return touchdown. And then right before the half, you gave up a huge, huge return, which gave them 30 seconds and multiple timeouts the opportunity to kick a field goal.
You said something to me before the show that literally blew my mind.
Oh, the last time the 49ers had their own punt return touchdown?
Yeah, the last time you actually felt positive about the Niners special teams, like that they could make a difference.
Ted Ginn Jr. had 2 returns against Seattle, Harbaugh's first ever game against Pete Carroll, 2011, at home, 49er Stadium.
That can't be it. Like, there's got to be...
Look it up.
The last
I bet
time,
you that's the last punt return.
The last time there's been a punt return touchdown for the 49ers, because we know what happens all the time against him, it feels like. When's the last time it happened for them? We know Shanahan thinks that it's a, you know, he views the special teams as don't lose me the game. We need to eventually start, you know, evolving here and say, can it help win me a game? Because it helped win Jacksonville the game yesterday.
That same year with Ted Ginn Jr., he was wide open. They had the Thursday night Thanksgiving matchup on my birthday, the Harbaugh, the first one, Ravens, Niners, and they lost. Ted Ginn Jr. over the top dropped 2 big-time passes. He ends up getting hurt in the playoffs, and he's deactivated for the NFC Championship game, and that's why Kyle Williams was your returner in the NFC Championship game. I know.
September 11th, 2011 was the last punt return for a touchdown.
Against the Rams, first week of the year.
Seahawks.
Excuse me, I said Seahawks. Yeah. My bad. Seahawks against Pete Carroll. Yeah.
14 years ago. 14 years
2011.
Ago. 2011. That's insane.
I think the last one before that was Fred Otis Amy, Sac State Hornets, Stingers up. Number 18, his name was Otis Amy, but he went by Fred as well. He had a visor, and he had a touchdown return in a game. And that was like 08, 09, 07, something like that. Dude, I'm longing for the days of Vinny Sutherland, for Christ's sake.
I'm longing for just Deebo Samuel to be back there to give me something. Like, I miss Deebo Samuel right now. I do. I miss seeing Deebo Samuel. I know the money, the finances, the dead cap, whatever. God, they're just missing playmakers offensively. Someone with some burst and some juice. Good God. Speaking of burst and juice, Armando's in San Leandro wants to join the conversation. What's up, Armando? You're on the Morning Roast.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. How are we doing today?
I mean, I've been better.
It's a Monday.
Okay, hey, check it out. On Friday, I called in for two things. Number one, my daughter got married on Saturday, and they told me, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Thank you so much. The wedding went beautiful. My daughter Crystal with Robert, beautiful.
Nice.
Number two,
did you have
I
to foot the bill?
Play the hot hand. Play the hot hand. Play Mac Jones. Play the hot hand. But they did not listen to me, and this is what happened. There it is.
They should have, Armando, you're right. They should have listened to you. Shanahan, after his presser, just said, I should have listened to Armando. I should have stuck with the hot hand and Mac Jones. It's not even sticking with the hot hand for me, and this is what I'm going to keep reiterating all morning. More of your calls, more of your texts. The 49ers make a mistake starting Brock Purdy yesterday. 888-957-9570 is the number to call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. You should have went with Mac to give Brock more rest for next Thursday. Yes, I could have came away with this and wrapped my head around a loss, even if they have gotten blown out. You're 3-1. It's not the end of the world. It's an AFC opponent. It's not a divisional opponent. It's not an NFC opponent. It's really not going to be the difference between making the playoffs or not. I believe that. But
it did feel very swingy in the sense that it would swing momentum to start the season.
Yes, but I also would have felt a hell of a lot better this morning, Joe, if it would just been a blowout with my backup. I could have wrapped my head around that as a Niner fan. Hey, we're getting our guy Brock back this week. He's got more extra time. Like, that's when you talk me into Brock Purdy playing against the Rams. That's the day you call in and say, hey, you know what, guys? This is a tough loss to be expected. It's our backup quarterback. We went 2-1 with him. That's okay. Let's gear up for the Rams. We're going to get Brock back. I feel better.
But if you pay a guy $150 million, don't you, if he wants to go out and play, don't you play him? Like, are you saying no to Josh Allen? Are you saying no to, I'm just asking, are you saying no to Mahomes? Are you saying no to Justin Herbert?
Let's be honest. Kyle Shanahan runs that locker room, not Brock Purdy. Kyle Shanahan's the letter of the law there, not Brock Purdy. So if Kyle Shanahan tells you, you know what, Brock, sorry, I know you're wanting to come to me and say you can play, I'm protecting you from yourself and saying no. That's what the great head coaches do. That's the Andy Reids. That's the Belichicks. That's these type of guys. Now, those guys have Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Is Brock a Hall of Fame quarterback? No, he's not yet. So that's why I'm the head coach, and I'm protecting him from himself because I know I have you as an investment, and I can't afford you to get hurt more than you already are. And I'm coming away from this game now with more questions than answers about his health going forward, Joe. Is he regressing because of the injury, because of the ability? I hate using that word regress. But he hasn't looked good in two games. He had a good moment in game one again with Jake Tonjes. Has he looked good?
Joe, I zoom back and I go, all right, big picture. How the heck do all these guys keep getting hurt at quarterback? Now, I know the position is just, it's violent.
Are you talking Niners specific or the league?
No, the Niners and like every year, Brian Hoyer got hurt, Beathard got hurt, and then boom, here comes Jimmy. And the only reason Jimmy played is because someone got hurt, got knocked out of the game. And then Jimmy got hurt, and then here comes Mullins, and then Mullins got hurt. Remember, he tore his yep. elbow. And then the next year, Jimmy's up there, and he's pretty healthy all 2019 season. 2020, Jimmy goes down again. Nick Mullins goes down again, right? Like, remember where we were, 2021. Jimmy gets hurt multiple times. Trey gets hurt multiple times. 2022, Trey goes down. Jimmy goes down. Brock goes down at the end of the year. Like, it is insane. Like, and I don't want to just, like, straight up blame him, but, like, it's insane the amount of times this quarterback keeps getting hurt. I know it's football. I watch the red zone like all of us, and someone's lying on the ground every other play. Like, I get that. But How are so many quarterbacks? Mac Jones been hurt twice in five games,
yeah.
Preseason and regular season. Brock Purdy's been hurt multiple times. It's not just the foot, it's also the shoulder. Like, this is crazy.
I'm going to tell
they
you.
They drafted a guy who's already hurt.
Joe, I'm going to tell you why on the other side I'm not surprised by all these quarterback injuries. And there's no one to blame but Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch when it comes to that and the player personnel. We'll dive into that on the other side. Jaime, Dave, McKay in Idaho. We'll get it to all of you. 888-957-9570 is the number. 49ers fall to 3-1 after a loss yesterday to the Jacksonville Jaguars. 26-21 the final. Did the 49ers make a mistake starting Brock Purdy yesterday. We'll talk about it more, but first, the injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
It really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
And this is what we did not want to see yesterday. Probably the most exciting story to come out of this season thus far has been Ricky Pearsall, who had to exit yesterday's loss with a knee injury. He was seen on the sideline trying to get the knee loose, but ultimately did not return to action. Juwan Jennings also came out with a rib injury, but he was able to make it back on the field. You got to wonder about their availability on a short week heading down to SoFi Stadium to take on the Rams. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up with the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. There's no guests. It's you, the people, on the other side on 95.7 The Game.